You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to this Times Higher Education podcast. My name's Chris Parr. I'm joined by David Swain, who's Chief Information Officer at London South Bank University. Pleased to meet you. David, Chief Information Officer, every university has one. What is it though? I mean, what are your responsibilities on a day-to-day basis? What does it boil down to?
My responsibilities are to ensure that the ICT in London South Bank is operating efficiently, that the systems are up and available, and that they do the right thing. So there's an operational aspect to the role. I'm also responsible for the ICT strategy and ensuring that that delivers the systems that the university requires for the future in support of the academic strategy, the business plan for the overall university, and all of the other strategic documents that support that. So quite a far-reaching role. Mm. It differs from the CIO position in some universities where they have responsibility for all information, including the library. Mm. But, you know, that model kind of comes and goes. So mine's specific to information and communications technologies.
Sure. So you must have a lot of people knocking on your door then. I imagine students and academics can be quite demanding in what they expect their ICT to do for them.
Yes, they can. Actually, students knock on the door of the Learning Resources Centre and the library, who provide the service to the student, and they escalate to my department if they're unable to provide the support. So we don't have a huge amount of contact with students, which can present challenges because we're kind of one step removed sometimes. Mm-hmm. We do have contact with academics who want new facilities, and actually ICT in a university is very diverse. So we're supporting everything from engineering through to the science, people studying all sorts of different things, so perhaps wider than some corporates would have.
Sure. So what are those challenges? What's the most, what's your biggest challenge as a CIO? What's the problem that keeps coming back that academics perhaps want to see fixed?
Last year it was simple things like equipment breaking whilst they're trying to deliver lectures. So we went through a major renovation program through the summer. So that's fixed a lot of that. It's about getting new equipment. But balancing that against perhaps, you get situations where people are monitoring equipment using PCs, and that if the drivers in the new versions of Windows, for example, aren't able to support the older of the equipment that's being monitored, then you have to support old versions of Windows too. So, that breadth of what we're supporting just grows and grows all the time, which it adds to cost.
Sure. And do you find that, I know you're one step removed maybe from the students, but given the increase in fees that we saw a couple of years ago, do students sort of come to university expecting maybe a little bit more for their money, expecting the technology systems to be a bit more cutting edge than they were when fees weren't so high? Have you noticed a sort of change?
Yes, we have noticed a change. Students actually became more demanding, I think, when the 3,000 and fee came in, and now 9,000, they're definitely demanding. They have an expectation that the technology they get will be at the pinnacle of education. And with the Building Schools for the Future program, there was a lot of investment that went into schools. And actually, in some cases, students have had access to better technology than universities provide. So, yes, it is a challenge. And upgrading things and keeping things current is good. There's talk about the style of teaching changing. So, with people gaining knowledge online and then coming into university to discuss and use the information and learn how to use information rather than it being access to information. So the style of teaching again goes broader, so you still have people delivering lectures but also people who are treating the face-to-face sessions more as sort of seminar discussion things.
Mm-hmm. So the flipped the idea of the flipped classroom.
Absolutely, you know. Yes. Yeah.
And is that something that's being adopted in your university across the board? I hear tales some academics may be less sort of forward-thinking and don't go down that line, maybe a bit more reticent. Others are the exact opposite, very, you know, evangelist about these new developments. Does that fall into your role, sort of monitoring how different departments are using the technology in the university?
Absolutely, and you know, you're absolutely right. You do have some academics who embrace everything that's new and they want to be at the leading edge of technology and using it to help inform their teaching practices. And you have others who are, slower to adopt. And you know, why would academics be any different to any other type of person? The university has just signed a major contract to make an investment with IBM to enable us to use social collaboration tools and portal technology and also predictive analytics to help us to improve the way that we deliver our education.
So what are those three things? So take me through those.
Social collaboration uses a platform which is a commercial platform, but it enables things like instant messaging, bulletin boards, wikis, discussion forum. There's a whole sort of hashtag type profile thing so that students can search for people in communities, whether they're academics or students on their own course or students on other courses, students who went through the course the year before, mm-hmm. and actually build out an interaction. Some of their social stuff will come into there as well in terms of clubs and things within the students' union. So it will enable students to interact without being face-to-face. And with the breadth of the whole sort of communications platforms that are available today, there'll be a lot more use of video. So not only would a student be able to email, instant message, they'd be able to video with each other or with academics. Mm-hmm. So a very different platform. And the portal bit actually is how we can surface information from different systems to a student. So ultimately, their whole experience will be one place to go to access the information instead of expecting the student to know which systems to go to get the information that we want to deliver. Mm. So it should be a much more intuitive approach.
And does that system allow you to track the students quite closely? Will you be given access or get a lot of data about how students are interacting with the university and with each other?
Yes, it will give us the ability to do that, but actually the key thing for us is that they are interacting. So we already gather data about the systems that they use, whether they're attending their lectures, whether they're attending the university, whether they're taking material out of the library, whether that's electronic or physical. We have that data. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time to process that, and if a student's in having difficulties, then actually we might not spot that early enough to take action. Whereas with the predictive analytics, the idea is that we will actually be able to see that that's happening, to track somebody's actual engagement against a huge pool of historic data and form some conclusions and hopefully make some suggestions which will enable the student to carry on but change one or two things and therefore be more successful in their time at university.
Hmm. How automated is that system? I know it's quite new to South Bank at the moment, but I mean, for example, would you have people monitoring the different signals, or would the system itself just sort of flash maybe a red traffic light warning or something similar when a student has sort of ticked a few boxes that should, you know, logically be cause for concern?
The aim ultimately is that it will be fairly automatic, so we'll be highlighting the exceptions, if you like, so that and then people can go and look and dive into the data and drill through to actually find out where the issues are, and really importantly, we'll be telling the student as well as staff members what we found and what we're concluding. And I think there'll be an element of training it. So actually, if we are suggesting that the student does something different, what are those things that make a difference and into the outcome? Because you know, there are many different recommendations we could make.
We're speaking in mid-March. Later this month, on the 26th of March, you're speaking at the Universities and Colleges Information Systems Association conference in Brighton, USISA, I suppose we should just call it. What will you be talking about there?
I'm talking about exactly that in one session. So the exceptional student experience proposition that IBM is taking into the market and what London South Bank is aiming to do with it, which I've kind of paraphrased. We're also, with IBM, moving our data centre, so servers and storage, into the cloud. And one of the other sessions I'm speaking at is with a company called NetEvidence, who have monitoring software which will tell me whether services are available and how they're performing. And I'm actually going to use that technology to monitor that the IBM hosted services are doing what they should be.
So that's a monitoring tool that keeps an eye on the technological processes, while the technological processes keep an eye on what the students are up to.
Yeah, it all sounds very recursive, doesn't it?
It does a little bit. Well, David Swain, Chief Information Officer at London South Bank University, thanks for coming in and talking to me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.